Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. Starting with the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is titled Safe Driving, Busy Time on Roads During Harvest Season. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Harvest season is upon us, and the Illinois State Police and local farmers in Vermilion County want to remind drivers to just be patient. Farm Bureau President Brian B.J. Diath, who is also a local farmer, wants to remind everyone on the road to take your time and remember the rules of the road, like when you can and cannot pass. This is my pet peeve with farm equipment or not. People like to pass at intersections far too often, he said. If you are coming up on a piece of farm equipment in general, and there is a side road coming in from the side, you just never know, there might be a car coming in from the side road, or they might be making a turn. Diath added, if you are driving in a rural area, and there is no stop sign, to stop anyway. Especially this time of year, with increased farm equipment traffic, and the crops are not out yet, so you can't see someone going down the side road. Just stop, he said. The Illinois State Police give these guidelines for driving safely this fall. 1. Share the road and be patient. Allow for extra travel time. 2. Increase following distance to improve sight lines when driving behind wide, slow-moving vehicles. 3. Reduce speed when encountering farm equipment on public roads. 4. Flashing amber lights mean caution, and orange and red reflective triangles warn motorists that farm equipment travels at slower speeds. 5. It is illegal to pass in a no-passing zone or within 100 feet of an intersection, railroad crossing, or bridge. Improper passing, including around farm equipment, can be deadly. Be cautious when pulling back into the lane of traffic. 6. Watch for the farmer's indication of a turn. Newer equipment may have turn signals, but older equipment may not, so watch for the farmer's hand signals. And 7. Be prepared to yield to wide equipment. The ISP also gives advice for farmers this harvest, such as avoid rush hours and busier roadways when possible. Avoid driving tractors on roadways during bad weather, low visibility, and when dark. Use reflective marking tape and reflectors at the extremities of equipment. Take time to wipe off reflectors, flashing lights, and any other warning devices on equipment before entering the roadway. Equipment covered with dust, mud, or debris from the field can make warning devices difficult to see. Pay attention for traffic backing up while traveling between fields and look for opportunities to ease them. If road and conditions are safe, pull over to the right to temporarily allow traffic to pass, giving backups time to clear. Next up, we have another story by Christy Jankowski. This one is titled, Farmers Can Struggle with Mental Health. September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and farmers have higher rates of suicide. According to a 2020 CDC study, male farmers, agricultural managers, and ranchers are dying by suicide at a rate of 43.2 deaths per 100,000 people. Leanne Varbel, a clinical psychotherapist with OSF Healthcare, has been working with the community of Greene County since the 1980s and 90s. She told OSF's newsroom she saw 8 to 10 total suicides in just 15 years. Varbel said, "It just took me aback." Since Varbel has devoted her time to solving the problem, The isolation and stress experienced by those working in agriculture, along with a culture of farmers doing it all on their own, is a big part of it. People living rurally are often independent. So when stress comes, they want to handle it on their own, Varble said. Hours and hours in the field, she told OSF, adding about the industry, you're expected to keep working even if you don't feel well, even if the stress is getting to you. You have to get up and do it again, or at least that's what your father before you did, and his father before him. Varble added, the work ethic, which, while admirable, can lead to chronic health issues. She also said many older adults struggle with feeling like a burden in a rural setting and will choose to end their lives because of it. But there is hope. Varble said if a person notices the problem, they talk to a trusted person. And there are helplines for immediate help during a crisis. There is the Family Farm Resource Initiative, which is available 24/7 by phone at 833-FARM-SOS. That's 833-327-6767. Or by emailing Farm Family Resource Helpline at mhsil.com. Community, she said, is the key to help. It's someone from their community who understands what's going on, said Varble. As for help here in Vermilion County, Jim Russell, the executive director of Vermilion County Mental Health, said there is a local crisis line with Crosspoint at 442-4300, or to call 988 for resources during a mental health crisis. If a person is talking about it anyway, suicide or talking about hurting themselves, talking about not wanting to be here anymore, if they are talking about things that are just too hard and too difficult, and all of those are signs that something is going on, and that is when someone with some professional help is needed, Russell stressed about suicide crises. And if you are struggling, he said, there is no shame. One of the things that we encourage people to do is to talk to someone they trust. Reach out to somebody. He added, if you are a person of faith, reach out to your religious organization. Reach out to your pastor, your clergy, whatever that might be. Reach out to a family member. Talk to somebody, and hopefully they will help people sort of get over the embarrassment or fear or shame when they start hearing it's not just them. Other people are going through the struggles. Russell added that one of his colleagues said the first crisis call she had for suicidal intent was for a 5-year-old. Russell added, it is all ages, and it is all across the board. No segment of society is untouched by suicide and suicidal thoughts, he said. Just be the person who can make a difference in somebody's life. Really listen and pay attention to what is going on in the lives of people around you, and when you see major changes in a pattern of behavior, ask those questions. And find out what is going on and be ready to listen. That is one of the challenges that we talk about quite a bit. The center offers training for groups or individuals for youth and adult mental health crises. The trainings are designed to help people know what to look for and how to help. The next training course for youth is being offered on Saturday, and the next adult training course is being offered on Wednesday, October 15th. The trainings are all day, but they are free. If you're interested, give the center a call at 217-443-3500. Our final story from the front page today is also about suicide, and it's titled, Suicide Impacts Someone's Life Every 11 Minutes. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Every 11 minutes, someone in the United States died by suicide in 2023, according to data from the CDC. They state that over 49,000 people died by suicide in 2023. And with every suicide death, there are survivors. Those surviving may be spouses, parents, children, colleagues, and the grief comes with a unique punch to the gut due to the manner of death. Rachel Rice knows all too well the grief that comes from the pain of a death by suicide. In 2015, her husband, Jason Rice, died by suicide. Rachel, who was a teacher in Danville, Georgetown, and Oakwood, but now works in Naperville, said Jason was set to become a pastor and was wary of seeking help. He really didn't want to seek treatment in the mental health facility because he would then be faced with having to admit to receiving mental health treatment, she said. Jason repeatedly told me that there was nothing wrong, but I saw that his behavior was different and kept urging him to seek guidance from our doctor. Rachel said she noticed a difference in Jason's behavior in March of 2014. She said he seemed stressed, so they took a short road trip with their son. I had realized that morning, during the trip, was that he didn't sleep well overnight, she added. But no big deal, because he could still rest during the day, since he did not have to work. The next day, Jason went to work. But Rachel said that night she noticed he still wasn't sleeping well. I took him to work that day, and since he seemed a little off, I waited a bit before leaving to run errands, she continued. He came back out to the car, and over the course of our conversation, nothing was making sense. His speech was coherent, but the topic didn't make sense. Rachel said the conversation alerted her to Google to see what might be going on, and the search led her to think his blood pressure was too high. This action, she believes, got Jason medical attention quickly because within the next day, Jason was able to be seen by their provider. Jason received a diagnosis of sleep deprivation-induced psychosis. Those two nights of little to no sleep were actually a small picture of what had been going on for several weeks, unbeknownst to me, Rachel said. During this time, Rachel said Jason started a new medication and sleep regimen. While Rachel said it did keep him at a better baseline, with no more episodes of the previous intensity for the 2 weeks he was off work, he did go back to work. But it was a struggle for him, she said. So much so that in August, he was let go. Then by November, it was obvious to Rachel that Jason needed more treatment. Our doctor was able to suggest a newer facility in Lafayette, Indiana. Jason spent a week there and was placed on low doses of medication. He came home and within a couple of weeks, it seemed like we had the old Jason back with us, she said. However, she noticed by late November that Jason was not taking his medications. And within a couple of weeks, he died by suicide on December 15, 2014. The heaviest part of grieving Jason, Rachel said, is the things he has missed about their son, Ethan's life. Two things that really stand out to me that Ethan said when the first couple of weeks are, Mom, you have to teach me how to drive, and Mom, you have to find me a new dad. Here it is 11 years later, and he will be driving soon. Ethan's fifth birthday was within 2 months of his father's death. Rachel said her friends helped make his party memorable, despite the ache of grief. As for what has helped Rachel as a survivor, she said journaling has been very helpful. For the first year, I wrote faithfully every day as if I were writing to Jason, telling him about my day or special occasions that he was missing out on. Sundays were difficult days because we were involved in the music ministry at our church, she added. Music has healing properties, and in time, I was able to get through the service without crying. Another bonding moment Rachel shares with her son Ethan is to cool the string of grief is taking treats to the Danville Police Department, as well as giving cards to the three officers who were on duty the day Jason died, as well as their work beyond that day. These officers, along with the entire department, showered Ethan with an abundance of gifts for Christmas. We chose to honor them as a thank you in memory of Jason, but also to help our own hearts heal, she said. We don't want to be sad. How would Jason want us to be over the holiday season? It truly does bring us joy to honor him, honor them in this small way. Jason Rice was involved with the First Baptist Church music ministry, including the church orchestra, men's vocal ensembles, and a tuba player with the Danville Municipal Band. And we're turning to the obituaries now, and we only have two today. The first is for Sharon Steele. Sharon Steele, 72, of Georgetown, died Thursday, September 25th, 2025, in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Watson Cremation Services at 1511 Greenwood Cemetery Road in Danville. Starla Shalato. Starla Jo Shalato, 52, of Danville, died at 10:42 a.m. Sunday, September 28th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And that's the end of the obituaries for today. Next up, we have a staff report titled, Danville Man Dies in Fatal Vehicle Accident. Danville. A Danville man was killed after riding his motorized bicycle into the side of a vehicle at the intersection of Harmon Street and Voorhees Street on Sunday afternoon. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden identified the victim as Gerald D. Hall, 43. According to a report from the Danville Police Department, officers responded to a report of a motorized bicycle versus vehicle traffic crash in the area of Harmon Street at Voorhees Street around 4:11 p.m. on Sunday. Upon arrival, officers located Hall with severe injuries after striking a GMC Terrain. Medical personnel arrived to render aid, and the patient was transported to OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, where he was pronounced deceased. Danville police began investigating the scene and were later assisted by the Illinois State Police Accident Reconstruction Team. A preliminary investigation indicates that the driver of the motorized bicycle, traveling northbound on Harmon Street, failed to yield at the stop sign at the intersection of Harmon and Voorhees. The GMC Terrain traveling eastbound on Voorhees Street was struck on the passenger side by the motorized vehicle as it passed through the intersection, said Danville Deputy Chief Joshua Webb. No other injuries were reported. The investigation into the incident continues, and anyone who has information regarding this incident is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250, or you can call Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. And turning to the sports pages, we have a story by Marvin Holman titled, Danville Football Loses to Crete Moni. Danville. The Danville football team wants to get back into being a playoff team. On Friday, they got a look at a team that could be on its way in Crete Moni. The Vikings could not get into the scoring column as they fell to the Warriors 51-0 at Ned Weitzel Field. This was a really good team. They are a team that we aspire toward being. They are a polished team, and they did what they were supposed to do, Danville coach Marcus Forrest said. They played hard and physical, and that is what a playoff team that has kids that will play in college and can advance in the playoffs can do. That is where we want to be, and it was a learning experience. I can take the positive and say that last year they scored 70, and today it was 51. They came out and ran over us. They were playing their heart out like they always do, Danville senior Jaden Rowell said. I feel that since we had a young team, they didn't know how hard they would play and how they were going to go to the ball. The Warriors built a 22-0 lead after the first quarter and kept going, using a passing offense that brought in most of their points. That emphasis on the pass meant a busy night for Rowell, who mostly had to deal with Crete Moni receiver Dorian Patterson, who is 6'3" and 190 pounds. They had a good receiver I went against last year, Rowell said. I won the fight last year, but I think he won this year. He has Division I experience, and he's a good receiver. For our team, we have to have confidence, but we didn't give up. There were times where we had them on a 3rd and 27, and they had a 6'4" receiver that can go up and get the ball when our defensive backs are 5'8". That's a struggle, Forrest said. They have a quarterback that throws it up, and they can get it. It is a testament that we keep fighting. Missed assignments, missed blocks, they all came back. By halftime, the score was 44-0. And while the Vikings did make plays in the second half, they could not capitalize to even put a dent in the Warriors' lead. When you have the opportunity to make plays, you have to make plays. And they were able to do more of that in the second half, Forrest said. Is it tough? Yes. Is it disheartening? No. I let them know what they are going against. Those same kids we played last year, and we were more experienced last year. So we competed a little better than last year. Each game is a learning experience, and you learn from it. It was the second straight season the Vikings played the Warriors. They knew the assignment and learned a lot from the series. We knew physically of what we were looking at. It wasn't a mystery that they were a good team, and it was a great experience for our kids, Forrest said. They saw that a real playoff team can do this. I am happy we don't play them again until we can get to a level where we can play them in the playoffs. I have nothing but respect for what they do and how they do it. Before the game, there was a moment of silence for Danville Athletics Director Gary Gritton. All of the Danville athletes, coaches, and District AD Mark Bases attended. To have every athlete from every sport come together was amazing, Forrest said. It is a tough time, and you hate to be there for it, but at the same time, you have everyone at that moment. It was great. You hate the moment, but you go through that as a school to come together. Mark Bases and Gary have given that camaraderie and school spirit here. We are one huge team, and we did that in honor of him. He gave me my award for Player of the Game at Bloomington, and he told me how good of a player I was, Rowell said. He told me to make good choices, stay around people who don't get me into trouble, and always go hard and never give up. In my sophomore year, he told me how good I was and that I should try more. Mr. Gritton was a great AD, and he always made everything fun and kept a smile on his face. The Vikings return home to face Champaign Central on Friday. Not only will Danville be taking on a rival, a new set of expectations will be there because of it being the homecoming team. We have a central team that has improved. We had a tough time with them last year, and they have added some pieces which makes them an athletic team, Forrest said. It is the perfect time to win because it's homecoming, but it brings another new experience to the younger kids because it will be their first homecoming and the first game with an expectation because everyone expects to win on homecoming. There will be a larger crowd and people coming in for reunions, so they will have a lot of support. So now it will be up to them to use the support they have and focus it on having the best game, and if they grow and have a good week of practice, we should be all right. And turning to the local pages, we have a staff report titled Folklore Progressive Dinner Set for this Friday in Danville. Danville. Downtown Danville prepares for culinary delights and chilling tales at the Folklore Progressive Dinner this Friday. This unique dining experience invites guests to savor a four-course progressive meal while traveling from one historic downtown venue to the next, all accompanied by eerie storytelling that unfolds throughout the evening. Start times offered at 5:30, 6, 6:30, 7, and 7:30 p.m. Guests embark on a guided journey limited to roughly 25 attendees per group. Tickets are $25 each and are exclusively to those 21 and older. Attendees are encouraged to secure their spots early as availability is limited. Physical tickets will be mailed in advance and must be presented at the first venue. Tickets can be purchased online, and the first stop of the night features Seeing is Believing, Bites, and a Witch's Pumpkin and Sage Crostini and Drinks, paired with Chilling Tales performed by Cotter Grimm, theatrical storytellers. The progressive journey then continues with entrees prepared by Mimi's Kitchen and Catering, offering blackberry Cabernet short ribs, or a vegan option of butternut squash ravioli with brown butter sage. The story builds to its climax at Bowman Studios, where desserts by Drops of Ash, cookies, or cake slices add a wickedly sweet twist. Finally, guests return to the Fisher Theater to conclude their night with a choice of drink, hors d'oeuvres, and live music lasting until 10 p.m. with a cash bar open until close. This event is a blend of storytelling and fine dining. Each venue offers not just a course, but a piece of the story, making it a night of flavor and folklore. For more information regarding Discover Danville, please visit our First Fridays website at www.firstfridaysdanville.com. And from Community Briefs, we have the Hoopston Public Library is kicking off fall with a guest from the local office of Birth to Five, Illinois. The guest is going to share information on programs and resources they offer for families of young children. The program set for 10:45 a.m. on Tuesday, September 30th, is for parents and caregivers of babies and toddlers. And Delta Dental of Illinois Foundation is bringing its Land of Smiles program to Oakwood Grade School. The free interactive education program about oral hygiene, nutrition, and regular dental checkups is set for 1:45 p.m. on Tuesday. Every student in attendance receives a free oral health kit with a toothbrush, toothpaste, and floss, along with oral health tips. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.